So let's welcome Susan Tucker.
Amen.
And I'm gonna pull this up a little bit. Oh, that's better. That's better. All right. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you all for being here today. You all look so beautiful out there. You really do. You look gorgeous. And I'm just thrilled and I'm full. And I'm glad you didn't read my bio, because quite frankly, after she got through singing, I was ready to go. I didn't want to hear nothing about myself. I just wanted to get up here and get started. So that was right on time for me. I want to first of all give honor and glory to God from whom all blessings flow, for allowing me the opportunity to have a chance to fellowship with you all and just share a few thoughts about the theme that has been chosen by the ladies here at Folk Street. I want to thank Sister Grimes. She's not here. I came in looking for her, and I understand that she's out of the country, actually. So I want to still give thanks to her for reaching out to me and asking if I would be willing to come and share some thoughts with you all today, and I am, and I was delighted. I was so excited when she asked me, and I got even more excited when I found out what the theme was: get your mind right, having a game plan for serving the Lord. So I thank Sister Grimes. I thank all the sisters here at the Folk Street congregation for allowing me to come and share with you all, and I do consider it an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. I want to also lift up my mother. She's here today. Mama, stand up. I think everybody knows who you are, but the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the earth and all may be well with thee. So I want to give this opportunity to her to give her honor and give her thanks for being an outstanding mother, for being an outstanding role model, for being an outstanding mentor, an outstanding friend. I could not have asked for a better role model and example than what I received in my mom. And I'm very thankful and I'm very grateful. My mother was the very first person that I ever knew of that did a ladies' day. I remember it was around 84 or so. And we won't talk about how old I was in 84, but I was born. Let's just say I was born. I was born. I was already born at that time. So I remember seeing a flyer, and she had a flyer with her, and I think it was another lady, Sue Workman, I think was the other lady that was on there. Both their pictures were on the flyer. I thought that was the neatest thing. I'd never seen anything like that before. And now I got my name and my picture on a flyer. How about that? And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my mother, and I'm thankful for my family. I also have my aunt here. And I don't know, I got a big family, so I just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. I don't have any cousins or anybody out there doing it that I'm missing. But I have my aunt. If my aunt would just raise her hand. This is my Aunt Lucy, and she, I'm going to tell you, anytime I have anything at my house or anything that needs, where I'm trying to do something or whatnot, Aunt Lucy is always there. She's always supportive. She's the first one there and the last one to leave. She's the one that helps me put the dishes in the dishwasher when everybody else is gone. So I appreciate her being here as well. And then finally, I want to talk about my brother. He says, you know, he's a preacher in Houston, Texas, and he has a group of folks that are from his first congregation where he preached at in Glass Street, and they load up on a bus and they go wherever, especially if he's in Tennessee anywhere. They go wherever he is, and he calls them his posse. Uh-huh. Yeah, but see, I got a posse too, bruh. Yeah, I got a posse too. I want my posse to stand up. The ladies of Shredder Lane Church of Christ that are here with me today, supporting me today, I really appreciate it. If you're from Shredder Lane, so I'm traveling with a posse as well. So I want to thank my posse for being here with me as well. Let's go to God in prayer, you all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you've so richly bestowed upon us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you forgive me of all of my sins so that I might be a fit vessel to petition you on behalf of others. Heavenly Father, go with me as I try to impart something, say something to uplift, encourage, and enhance our lives, Heavenly Father, from your word. Heavenly Father, We ask that you speak, Lord. Heavenly Father, what I am and who I am is not important, Heavenly Father, but what is important is you, Lord, and I want the beauty of you to be seen in everything that I do today. Help me to have a steady and ready recollection of the things that I've studied, Heavenly Father, and help them to be received in the right spirit and given in the right spirit, Lord. If there's anybody here today, Heavenly Father, that is suffering from any illness, that is suffering from anything going on in their home or in their family or on their jobs, Heavenly Father, we ask that you work it out. We put it in your hands, God, and we trust you with it. And we ask that you work it out. We ask a blessing on everyone here in every capacity in which they are functioning, whether that be a mother, whether that be a daughter, whether that be a sister, whether that be a friend, whether that be an aunt or a cousin or a grandparent, whatever capacity they are functioning in, Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless them in that capacity to complete that role and to do the work that you have set before them. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless every single family that is represented here today. You know where they have need, Lord, and we ask that you meet their needs. We, in Jesus' name, we pray and we believe. We ask it all. Let the redeemed say amen.
Amen.
All right, now, get your mind right. Get your mind right. Right. Having a game plan for serving the Lord. Boy, I was so excited about this theme. I thought, wow, this is really, really powerful. Get your mind right. Having a game plan for serving the Lord. I thought about it and I turned it. I'm a lawyer, so I turn things over and under and look up under them and around them and try to twist them around and see how I could. And I thought, well, now, you know, also you could say, having a game plan, get your mind right for serving the Lord. You could say it that way, right? And I thought, okay, this is really good. So many different ways that you could go through this. As I was thinking about the theme, you know, all these thoughts started coming up in my head and I started thinking about all the different things that I wanted to say, and then I started writing, and then I had to rewrite it because I thought of something else, and then I had to rewrite it again because I thought of something else, and I thought, well, shucks, I can't tell them everything today, so if I could, I have a part one and a part two to this thing, but I don't have time for that today, so I'm just going to give you part one, and maybe somebody will let me come somewhere and do part two. But just in case, so today we're going to talk about having a game plan. We're going to talk about what that game plan kind of needs to look like, okay? And why it's important and what kinds of things we need to consider when developing a game plan for serving the Lord or a game plan for getting your mind right. But in any case, we want to get our mind right. Now, when I was thinking about that also, I thought, okay, get your mind right, get your mind right. We don't want to just get our mind right. We want to get it righteous. Right? We want to get our mind righteous. We want to get it right. We want to be on the right track, but we want to get our mind righteous. We want to be thinking and dwelling on righteous thoughts. We want to be in control of what we are thinking. We want to think about what we're thinking about, right? Sometimes we don't think about what we're thinking about, and we should. We should. You know, I know sometimes God probably look at us and like, what is on that person's mind? And somebody said, what's on their mind? You know, sometimes we got to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves and say, what's on my mind? What's on my mind? So we want to think about those things today. Get your mind right. Having a game plan for serving the Lord. Importance of a game plan. Game plan is a pretty important thing. You know, my son, he is a basketball player. He likes basketball. Bear with me. My son likes basketball. He's been playing basketball for, really, he's 12, so he's been playing since he was about four, rec league basketball and Y league basketball and things like that. And so he really enjoys the game. He enjoys it so much. He plays, in addition to regular games, he usually plays on the weekend during basketball season. Sometimes we go to two or three games in the same day, and he's raring to go every time. He plays during the week. And he practices with the team during the week, but also he likes to just play recreationally during the week. So every week, Tuesday, Thursday, usually every week, he goes to the rec center to play. And when he goes, he's playing what they call a pickup game, right? Pickup game. You know what pickup game is? Pickup game is where you don't really have a plan. You really don't even know who's going to be there at the gym when you get there. But when you get there, you just play with whoever, right? You just play with whoever's there. You just go in. Nothing really at stake. Not a trophy at stake. Not a prize at stake. Maybe, look, street credits at stake. But that's about all that's at stake. So you can go in and play a pickup game without a game plan because there's nothing at stake, right? But life is a little different. Yeah. Life is a little different. You got to have a game plan because it's too much at stake. Too much at stake. your life is at stake. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. And so we have to have a game plan as we approach things in life. I meant to turn my timer on. Pardon me, I'm going to do that because I don't want to go over my time. I don't know how much time I have, but okay, let me know. Okay, thank you. Yeah, because I just gave myself 5 hours and that's not going to work. So, thank you. Okay, Mama, thank you. Mama's got my time. Okay, so if I go over time, it's Mama's fault. No. So, having a game plan, it's important for that reason because it's too much at stake. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. So, what is a game plan? What's a game plan? A game plan is a strategy. Mm-hmm. It's a strategy that you work out in advance of the game to make sure that you win the game in accordance with the rules. Right? It's a strategy. It's a plan for how you can win the game in accordance with the rules. So we have to have a strategy. We have to have a strategy of how we're going to serve the Lord, right? We have to have a strategy at life as to how we're going to serve the Lord, win at life, and do so in accordance with the rules. Now, every game that you play has a set of rules, because that's how you're going to declare a winner and a loser, or declare if someone is operating illegally or outside of the rules or the parameters. Every game has to have a set of rules. To win a game, you've got to be playing it by the rules. Now, God has given us. He's given us a rule book. Yeah, if you got your rule book, raise your rule book up. God's already got that thing covered. Now, he gave us a rule book. So if we're going to win at life, we got to play by these rules. We've got to play by these rules. Now, what happens if you don't play by the rules? Well, you don't play by the rules. Now, then we're going to have to call a penalty. We're going to have to call a penalty. Yeah, you break the rules. You know what the penalty is, right? You might have to go back 5 yards or 15 yards, depending on what the penalty is that you call. Well, every so often we got folks that want to break the rules, and we have to call a penalty. Yeah, hateful. Mm-hmm. Just plain mean.
Well, no.
Mm-hmm. Attitude. Unnecessary roughness. Yeah. Unnecessary roughness. That's a penalty.
Amen. Amen.
Unnecessary roughness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, impatient. Mm-hmm. Can't wait on God. Mm-hmm. Always trying to get ahead of God. Thank you no more than God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. False start. Then my people back in the back, they holding up the little parameters so that you know you got the penalty. False start. False start. Right? You got ahead of the game. You got ahead of God. Mm-hmm. Quick tempered. Mm. See, these are the ones we struggle with. We got the drinking down, we got the cursing down, we got the stealing down. We're not doing those things. So we're not doing those things anymore, right? We're not doing those things anymore. But those other things, quick tempered, just waiting to bless somebody out. You don't want to curse them out. You want to bless, but you ready? You standing ready? Mm-hmm. Offsides. Mm-hmm. Offsides. Yeah, you're getting ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. What about my basketball lovers? I like basketball. My basketball lovers in here. Any basketball lovers in here? You like basketball? Yeah. The basketball lovers. Well, sometimes the basketball lovers get ahead of themselves too. Maybe the children, sometimes disobedient to parents, talking back, wrong attitude. Uh-huh. I'm called tech. Mm-hmm. Yeah, call it tech. Talking back to the ref, yeah, that's a tech. Yeah, yeah. So we have to think about that because we're going to have some penalties in life when we don't follow the rules that God has been able to share with us. That's why it's important, because you don't want to get a penalty. The reason you don't want to get a penalty is you have, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this a little later, offense and defense, right, in your game plan, right? So anytime you get a penalty, you are giving the opposition an opportunity to score. And that is what you don't want, right? You want to be the one to score. You don't want to give the opportunity to score to anybody else. And I'm looking for a prop that I don't see, but we're going to improvise. But you don't want to give the opportunity to score to the opposing side, because this thing is real. And we're in a battle, and we're using an analogy of a game, but we're really in a battle. So, and now I'm going to talk about one last one, and it is walking in unforgiveness, right? That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Even when we tackle all the rest of them, somebody hurt you, somebody mistreated you, didn't acknowledge you, slighted you. Yeah, we can harbor those things and still get all the rest of those things under control. Flag on the plate. Mm-hmm. Flag on the plate. The flag on the plate, because it's going to affect every single thing that you're doing. It permeates everything that you had to improvise with my tissue here. Thank you for the tissue, sister. That worked out just fine. But we have to think about that. That's why it's important for us to play by the rules and know what the rules are and have a firm idea as to what our game plan is going to be. Bible says his divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the power of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's how we know that this is our rule book. It's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we're going to do things by the rules. Sister Jones, so now let's talk about these rules. So what are the rules? This is a big book. You don't have time to go through all those rules today. No, I don't have time to do that today. So I'm very thankful that Solomon has already summarized it for us in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He said, now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He didn't say it's the half duty. It's the whole duty. Everything that we do ought to be able to fit into one of those categories. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I'm glad that Solomon summarized it for us in that way. Now, the commandments. Now, Jesus went a little further. He said, now, he's going to tell you about the commandments. What are the commandments then? Jesus said, when they asked him, which is the greatest commandment, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Get your mind right. Right? Jesus said, get your mind right. With all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And if I had time, I'd talk a little bit about the importance of loving yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you're not in a position to love your neighbor. Sometimes we don't want, the way folks treat themselves, I don't know if I want them to love me quite like they love themselves, you know. So you have to love yourself and you have to love others. So we thank Solomon and obviously thank Christ for capsulizing that. See, anybody can make anything hard. With my clients, a lot of times we're approached with a problem, or we're approached with a set of laws, and that are complicated. And so they depend on me to read that, summarize it, and tell them what they need to do in accordance with the law. So that's what that is. It's a summary. It's a capsulization of all of those things. And we have to think on those things. It's no coincidence that these rules reflect what is happening in your mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It is that important. Now, shameless plug here. Many of you know that my mother is an author. I am not an author, so I will promote her book. Shameless plug. She wrote inspirational readings for the Christian woman previously, but now has a new book that is coming out. We very creative with this. Wanted you to be able to remember inspirational readings for the Christian woman 2. Okay? Spiritual warfare. All right, and it talks about the mind. This picks up with where I'm going to leave off today. We're going to talk about the strategy and the importance and things like that, and things that we need to be reminded of, but it's going to pick up with what is actually going on in your mind, what you need to meditate on, what you need to be thinking on, and how to fight in the spirit. So we want to look for that as that comes out. I think it's going to be out maybe in the next month or so, if I'm correct. So it starts with the mind. It starts with heart. Get your mind right. What's on your mind? Got to think about what we're thinking about. Do you love your neighbor? Hard question. Shouldn't be, but it's a hard question. It's a hard question. It's a soul-searching question, right? That's a part of our duty, to love our neighbor, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. See, we can't get to heaven alone. No, we can't get there alone. And when we get there, we won't be alone. Right? So we need to get to love our neighbor now. And when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we can take on another aspect of the playbook or the strategy or the rules, and that is understanding a team mentality. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you gonna love your, that's your teammate. You don't work against your teammate. You're going to the same thing. You're going in the same direction. Everybody's trying to win. And if you get a win, everybody on the team wins. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for individuals. He's not coming back for you as an individual. He's by yourself. Right. Help me teach this thing, Sister Robin. By yourself? Yeah, he's coming back for his church. And that's a team of folks. Pick a side. Mm-hmm. Pick a side. I'm trying to be on the winning team. I'm trying to be on the love side. Pick a side. So we have to learn, and that's why it's so important that we learn to love each other, and we do it on purpose. It's not something necessarily always comes naturally, because it's not always a feeling. Sometimes it's a choice. And we have to choose to love one another. We have to choose. We have to grin and bear it. We have to hold that tongue. We have to get up and do something when we don't feel like it for our neighbor, because that's a part of love. So we have to have a team mentality. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. God is coming back for us, his church, his team. So you want to pick a winner, because we know the outcome. You know, it's a fight tonight. Anybody getting a fight tonight? I'll be at your house. The fight is tonight, Mayweather and McGregor, right? But unlike this, well, we don't know necessarily who we can predict who might win, but we don't really know who's going to win. And what we're dealing with, we already know who's going to win. It's already fixed. It's already ordained. All we got to do is stay on the team. Can't leave the team now. You see your sister leaving the team, you got to bring her back. We have a responsibility. You can't lead the team. You can't get mad at the team. I'm just going to quit the team. No, what's on your mind? No, you can't quit the team. You can't quit the team. We got to get there together. We got to get there together. So we got to be on the Lord's side. We got to work together. Now, you know, having a team mentality is something that God has given some instructions for us on. The word says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6:2. Comfort one another with the same comfort with wherewith you yourselves are comforted. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Be of the same mind toward one another. Romans 12:16. Now may the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another to Christ Jesus, Romans 15:5. So we know that's important. That's important. Bear ye one another's burdens. Comfort one another. Look out for one another. Be of the same mind. Be of the same judgment. Those are things that we have to consider and strive for. So now, what do we know? We know that we have to play by the rules. We know that the Bible is our rule book. We know that if we don't follow the rules, we're going to get a what? A penalty. You with me? You with me? Give it, talk back to me. Yeah, you with me? Yeah, you're going to get a penalty. And we know that we have got to have a team what?
Mentality.
Mentality. Team mentality is up here. How you view your neighbor, how you view yourself in conjunction with your neighbor. Now what? Well, we know all that, Sister Jones. What else do we need to know? Might not be what else you need to know. It might be who else you need to know. All right, somebody with me over here. Somebody said who? Who else you need to know? You going to be on the team. You playing for somebody. You know, you might want to get to know the coach. Might want to get to know the coach. What's the coach? What's the coach's responsibility in getting your mind right, having a game plan for serving the Lord? Training, instruction, teaching. That's leading. Those are the things, the qualities and characteristics of the coach. The coach will help you to execute the rules and the plays while you're on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, God, Christ, you know, when he came, he provided us with a coach. God provided us one. He left us with one. Uh-huh. He left us with the Holy Spirit. That's our coach. Well, Sister Jones, how do you know that the Holy Spirit is our coach? Well, I'm glad you asked. I know this because in John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So his job is to help us and teach us the rules, the strategies, the plays that we're going to have to execute on the field of life. But we have to be willing to be guided by that. That's the coach. Let the Holy Spirit coach you through life. Right? Huh? Let the Holy Spirit coach you through life. Remind you of those things that you have studied. Lead you in the right direction. We have to be ready and willing to receive that and understand that his role in our lives is to comfort and to lead, as as illustrated in the word. Get your mind right. This is the part of your game plan for serving the Lord. So we know the rules, and we know about avoiding the penalties, and we know about having a team mentality, and we know about listening to the coach. Now it's time to learn the plays. Yeah, you got to learn the plays. That's what practice is for, right? You have a team. You have a team, and the team practices so that they can be ready to execute on the field. And you got to learn the plays. This book is quite amazing. It not only is your rule book, it is your playbook, right? So you have the rules in here, but you also have the plays in here. So that's why it's so important. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to help you execute the rules and the plays. And sometimes God is good to us. All the time God is good to us. But sometimes he puts people in our lives that can assist us as we try to learn the plays and as we try to learn the rules. And those are our offensive and defensive coordinators. If you are an offensive and defensive coordinator, you have a pom-pom in your possession. Raise it up for me. Yeah, these are my offensive and defensive coordinators. It is their job to work on behalf of the coach, right? To make sure that the team is ready to go on game day. All right, offensive and defensive coordinator. Why is it important? Because offense and defense, you're doing two things. When you're offensive, in offensive mode, you are trying to what? Save souls. You're trying to get some for the team. You're trying to score some points for the team, right? And when you're in defense, you're trying to keep people from leaving the team, or you're trying to fend off those things that that the enemy would send or the opponent would send your way, right? And so, and even when you think about the full armor of God, which I don't have time to go through all of it, but the full armor of God is basically defensive, right? Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What? The shield of faith, right? Loins girded about with truth. Uh-huh. Yeah, helmet of salvation. All defensive mechanisms. But you got the sword of truth, right? You got to be able to wield that. That's your only offensive mechanism that you have in your piece of armor. And likewise, that's how you have to handle it on the field. So God has given us some strategies, both offensive and defensive. Well, now, Sister Jones, you don't have time to tell us about all those strategies. Well, now, you might be right. I don't. But can I take my time? I can have it in 5 hours. take the time. Well, I'll take the time to go through a few of the strategies. And because the sisters here at Folk Street have outlined some of them for us. The Bible is absolutely replete with offensive and defensive strategies so that we can guarantee that we are playing our particular position effectively. Get your mind right. Having a game plan for serving the Lord. Since there's so many, let's go ahead and identify the ones that these sisters have identified. Now, these are plays, right? This is the nitty-gritty. This is what you have to execute. Turn over to Romans 12, beginning at the 9th verse. Now, my offensive and defensive coordinators, where are you? All right. Offensive and defensive coordinators, I need you on point. Now, but before we go there, I think it's important to set up a context and, again, draw some parallels to the fact that it's about your mind. We're going to drop down to verse 9 in a minute, but let's go back up to verse 2. The Bible reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's why it's important. That's why it's important. Okay, so we got to learn these plays. Offensive, defensive coordinators, y'all on point. Where y'all going to take us today? I think we go to Romans 12:9. Which coordinator has Romans 12:9? Go ahead and read that for us. Read it loud so the team can hear you.
"Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good."
Amen. That's the play. Okay, so when we get out on the field of life, that's the play that we're going to run. Romans 12:10. Who's got the play? What play are we running? 12:10. Where's pom pom? So we know who. Yeah, that's how we're going to know which coordinator to look at. "Be kindly affectionate one to another. In brotherly love. In honor. Preferring one another." That's more on the team mentality, right? What we got on verse 11? Who's got verse 11? What's the play? Who's calling the play? All right, sis.
"Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord."
All right, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Who's got number 12? What's the play? Sister Heron.
"Rejoicing in hope."
Yes.
"Patient in tribulation."
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the play, right? That's the play. We have to execute that on the field. What's number 13?
"Distributing to the necessity of the saints."
Yes.
"Given to hospitality."
Yes, and I knew you didn't need a pom-pom because I knew your voice going. I didn't write. I said, that one right there didn't need one. Sister Swell's got it. That's right. What about number 14? What we got on number 14? Who's my offensive defensive coordinator on 14? That's a big one. Oh, bless them that curse you. Read that one more time. I think we need to. Bless them
which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
You know, sometimes some folks, you know, when Jesus asked us to pray for our enemies, some folks want to go back and get some of them Old Testament prayers. I ain't gonna say no names. You know who you are. We'll go back and get those Old Testament prayers. But the Bible says, bless and not curse. Bless them and not curse them. It's counterintuitive to do. Our minds struggle with that. It's counterintuitive to do good to someone who has done badly to you, who has treated you poorly, who has treated you with disrespect. It's very difficult to do. That's one of the hardest things that we are called to do. But God has asked us to do that. God did it. Jesus did it. What did he say on the cross? He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Right? Oh, doesn't that give you chills? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," as he is being crucified. So as you feel like you are being crucified on your job, bless them. Bless them. Uh-huh. As you feel like you are being crucified at your home or in, not in this church, but in some people's churches, right? You know, get your feelings hurt, get disrespected, all those kinds of things. Those things hurt. You know, people say words don't hurt, but they do. Yes, they do. They hurt. Mm-hmm. But it builds character, and you will be surprised as to what the reaction will be from those people, because they don't, you don't mess them up. That's a play. That's a play that's going to mess them up. You know, if they're ugly to you, and you, they ain't ready, you get the spinning on them, they not ready for it. They ain't going to know what happened. Why she treat me? That's why it's so effective. That's an effective play right there. All right? Yeah. So, 15. I think I'm on 15.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice.
Yes.
And weep with them that weep.
Yes. 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 You ever had somebody who is you happy about something and they come in, they dip it down on you? That just take the wind out your sails. You all happy and just joyfully rejoicing. It's hard. Don't be that person. Be that person that rejoices with the people who are rejoicing. Right? Rejoice with those that are rejoicing, and mourn with those who are weep with those who are weeping. Thank you. Be compassionate for those who are going through.
That's right.
You know, sometimes when you're going through a storm, you're not in the mood necessarily to hear about all the good that's happening to somebody else right then. You want to hear about it, but right then you need them to sympathize with what you're going through. And so we have to be cognizant and mindful of each other. That's the play we need to run sometimes. What's the next one? Number 16, I believe.
16.
Mm-hmm.
Be of the same mind.
Yes.
Another.
Yes.
Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of lower state.
Yes.
Be not wise in your own conceit.
That's right. Don't be too wise, too big for your britches, too good. You know, they can't do this. They look down on that person. Whatnot. No, we're all brothers and sisters. Right? We all died. Jesus died for us all. He died for us all. It is the will of God that what? All men be saved. Right? Y'all know this stuff. Right. Yeah. Number 17.
Recompense to no man evil for evil.
Oh, circling back to that now. Yeah. Circle. That's how important it is. Go ahead.
Provide things honest, mm-hmm, in the sight of all men.
That's right. That's right. We have to think on those things. We have to. Number 18. Who's got to play for number 18? Mm-hmm.
If it be possible,
mm-hmm,
as much as lieth in you,
mm-hmm,
live peaceably with all men.
That's right. Amen. You don't be the one stirring up stuff. Huh? There are going to be people out there that are going to stir up some mess. Stir up some drama, uh-huh, but don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Yeah, don't let it be you. Number, am I on 19? Number 19.
Dearly beloved,
mm-hmm,
avenge not yourself,
mm-hmm,
whether give peace unto wrath,
mm-hmm,
but it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay,
saith the Lord. Say that. Do you see how many times that theme is driven home in these scriptures? That means it's important. It's a mindset change. Get your mind right. Get your mind. If you get your mind right, your body gonna do the rest. Your body's gonna follow, right? Get your mind right. Have a game plan for serving the Lord. Number 20. Okay, Sister Tanya.
To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head.
You know, when you're having fellowship dinner at the church, you know, and you serving and everything, and you see the sister over there that you don't want to serve, we're going to give her something to drink. Yeah, give her something. Fix her plate for her. Yeah, that's what that's saying. Yeah. And it's going beyond that. Actually, it's even beyond that. But I just use that as an example because that's one we can identify with. Uh-huh. Yeah, as you sit on one side and she sits on the other, y'all go to the same service, never do speak. Mm-hmm. I hear word on the street is that that happens. I'm not saying it happens here, but wherever it happens, those things are not. You have to. See, you don't. I got to stop here for a second. You don't get any credit, really, for loving those people. Bible says you don't get any credit for loving those that love you.
That's right.
That's easy. That's what you're supposed to do. That's naturally intuitive. You get credit for loving those people who don't. Those people who are hard to love. And there are people who are hard to love. I know. I try not to be one of them. But there are. There are people who are hard to love. And that's why we get the bonus points for loving those people, because it takes a little extra in you. It takes a little extra out of you. Yeah, yeah. Number 20, here's the kicker. Where's number 20? I'm sorry, 21. Oh, thank you.
Be not overcome with evil.
Uh-huh.
But overcome evil with good.
Overcome evil. That sums it up, doesn't it? Good job, ladies. Offensive and defensive coordinators. Good job. Good job. So we have to practice these things. You know, I'm in the practice of law. Doctors are in the practice of medicine. That means we have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over. I'm not in the perfect of law. I'm in the practice of law. So that means that I've got to familiarize myself with the rules, familiarize myself with the legal strategies and the legal theories in an effort to make a difference in the lives and in the business of my clients, okay? And that's what we have to do. We have to practice. We have to practice these things. We have to do them over and over. I love that enemy. I'm done. I can check that off my list. No. Now we got to keep doing it. Yeah, there are lots of opportunities to do that. There's lots of opportunities to serve. There are lots of opportunities to be who God has called us to be, and we have to remember those things. But we must commit. We must commit to it, and we must commit to it as a team. I reminded you earlier that the fight on this side, the fight on this side of life is fixed. It's fixed. We know who's going to win.
Yes.
The victory is ours. We have to stay with the team, though. Have your game plan. Get your mind right for serving the Lord. Now, see, here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is when you practice these things and you execute these plays and you read your Bible and familiarize yourself with the rules, when things come up that you didn't anticipate, you don't have to run back to your Bible. God said, I'm going to write my word on your heart. You got it, right? Why? You got it because you've been to practice. Mm-hmm. Because you listen to the offensive and defensive coordinators in your life, people who encourage you and inspire you to do what's right, because you're led by the Holy Spirit. So when you get in a situation that you didn't anticipate, you can call the audible. Uh-huh. Yeah, call the audible. You know, when on the football field, you know, you have a huddle. You move over to the huddle, you come up with your strategy, what you're going to do on the field, right? But sometimes when you get out there on the field, the other side is the formation is a little bit different than what you originally anticipated. So you got to make a change. You got to change your strategy on the fly. You hadn't been in the huddle yet. What you going to do? You're going to call the audible, right? You're going to change the strategy right then. But if you're not familiar with the plays on the team as the person calling the play, you can't call the audible, right? You're not going to know what to do. You're going to be all messed up, right? You got to be able to call the audible. Uh-huh. Lost your job. Uh-huh. Call an audible. Yeah. Call an audible. Your audible is Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Call an audible. When something happens in your life that you can't figure out, that you weren't ready for, that you hadn't practiced as far as thinking that you're going to run into that thing, you got to be able to call the audible, but you have to have gone to practice. Sickness. Uh-huh. Sickness. Call the audible. James 5:14-16. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church that they may pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Call the audible. Yeah. When your haters pop up. Mm-hmm. Your haters pop up. Mm-hmm. Call the audible. What's the audible? Psalms 37. Fret not thyself over evildoers, Neither be thou envious of them that work iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down as the grass and wither as the green herb. Call it audible. Right? Call it audible. In life, things happen that you don't anticipate, but you have to be in a position to do that. You need strength. You need strength sometimes. Call the audible. Isaiah 40:31. Say it with me. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yeah, uncertain about the future, call the audible. Jeremiah 29:1. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you future and hope. We need to think about those things. Be ready to call the audible. Need peace and prosperity. This is one of my favorites. Psalms 1. Peace and prosperity is a recipe. It's a prescription for how you ought to live your life. Call the audible. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth about. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We have to call the audible. Call the audible. Call the audible. That's what you have to be able to do when you are going to be out there on the field of life playing for the Lord's team. You got to be able to call the audible. You've got to be able to be familiar with the rule book. You got to be able to be familiar with the playbook. You got to be able to have a relationship with the coach. You got to know your offensive and your defensive strategy. You got to know all of those things so that you can be ready and you can play this thing to win. You can play this thing to win. The lesson is yours. The lesson is yours. I hope I've said something today to uplift you, to encourage you, to inspire you, to play for the team that we're on, to get your mind right, to have a game plan for serving the Lord. I thank you for having me, and I give God the glory.